Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Pallava Giri Bandare Jasura Nandana Braja Janna Randana Yasura nandana braja janarangana Yamuna tera vanachare Yamuna tera vanachare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Pallava Giri Bandare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Pallava Giri Bandare Jaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Gauranita, Jaya Gauranita, Jaya Gauranita, Jaya Gauranita. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada
Jaya Nitya Lila Pravista Astatarasata Sisi Man His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Premsa Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Sigiraha Shivasiti Gaur Bhakti Vinnikita Sri Sri Radha Shama Sunda Gopa Gopina Sham Kundaradha Kundigiri Govagan Ki Jai Grantaraj Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Abhimanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya And this news update has just been handed to us. The devotees who assisted their spiritual masters in dressing the deities today, Sri Sri Radhasham Sundar Nittai Dasi, Chota Radhasham Sundar Devarata Das, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Jayanti Dasi, Chota Krishna Balaram Premacharangini Dasi, Sri Sri Gornitai Devaki Dasi, Chota Gornitai Leela Dasi, and the Gurus and Lord Nrisingadev Krishna Kripa Das. So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 8th Chapter, text number 6. Dotatma Purusha Krishna Paramulam Namuchati Mukta Sava Pariklesha Panta Svasaranam Yata Dotatma Purusha Krishna Paramulam Namuchati Mukta Sava Pariklesha Panta Svasharanam Yata Dotatma Purusha Krishna Paramulam Namuchati Mukta Saiva Pari Klesha Panta Sva Sharanam Yata. Just chant. Somebody? Dotatma Purusha Krishna Vaishnavis? Students? Somebody? Delta Atma, whose heart has been cleansed. Purusha, the living being. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paramulam, the shelter of the lotus feet. Na, never. Munchati, gives up. Mukta, liberated. Sarva, all. Pariklesha, of all miseries of life. Panta, the traveler. Svasaranam, in his own abode. Yata, as it were. Translation. A pure devotee of the Lord whose heart has been cleansed by the process of devotional service never relinquishes the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, for they fully satisfy him, as a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is not a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord Krishna is not completely cleansed in the heart. But a perfectly cleansed person never quits the devotional service of the Lord. In discharging such devotional service, as ordered by Brahmaji to Narada in the preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes a representative of the Lord engaged in preaching work meets various so-called difficulties. This was exhibited by Lord Nityananda when he delivered the two fallen souls, Jagai and Madai, and similarly, Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified by the non-believers. But such difficulties are very gladly suffered by the devotee in preaching, because in such activities, although apparently very severe, the devotees of the Lord feel transcendental pleasure, because the Lord is satisfied. Prahlad Maharaj suffered greatly, but still, he never forgot the lotus feet of the Lord. This is because a pure devotee of the Lord is so purified in his heart that he cannot leave the shelter of Lord Krishna in any circumstances. There is no self-interest in such service. The progress of culturing knowledge by the jnanis, or the bodily gymnastics by the yogis, are ultimately given up by the respective performers. But a devotee of the Lord cannot give up the service of the Lord, for he is ordered by his spiritual master. Pure devotees like Narada and Nityananda Prabhu take up the order of the spiritual master as the sustenance of life. They do not mind what becomes of their future of their lives. They take the matter very seriously, as the order comes from the higher authority, from the representative of the Lord, or from the Lord himself. The example set herein is very appropriate. A traveler leaves home to search for wealth in far distant places, sometimes in the forest, sometimes on the oceans, and sometimes on the hilltops. Certainly, there are many troubles for the traveler when he is in such unknown places. But all such troubles are at once mitigated as soon as the sense of his family affection is remembered. And as soon as he returns home, he forgets all such troubles that were on the way. A pure devotee of the Lord is exactly in a family tie with the Lord, and therefore he is undeterred in discharging his duty in a full affectionate tie with the Lord. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Janandina Shalakaya Chaksya Unmanitam Yantaspai Sri Guru Venamaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pandum Lam Jayati Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Mdantarana Vancha Kapatiruvyascha Kripa Sendhava Hirvacha Patitanam Padhanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sridhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Sanskrit language is both a very complex and yet very straightforward language. And how one understands that greatly is dependent upon the context that they encounter it with and the teacher who is giving them the entrance to it. All of us here, we're all very fortunate to have this presentation by Srila Prabhupada and his Bhaktivedanta purports. He's presented these Sanskrit words to us in their most sublime nature and in their most direct meaning. Having said that, I thought it was worth taking a look at some of the particular Sanskrit words in today's verse and the meanings that we can gather from them, because some of them are very, very important. So this first word, dota atma. It's actually got a very deep meaning. The word dota, it has three variations of how it's applicable. The first one, it means to wash or to cleanse something. And the second one is a little bit stronger sense of that, and that it's not only washed off, but what's being washed off is removed and destroyed. And then in the third sense, it refers to what's left after the washing, and that that item is now polished, bright, and shining. So if we take an additional word, papam, and put it in there, which we see sometimes is done as a suffix in this word, it refers to being purified and washed off of all sins. In other words, as used in this verse, having become cleansed. Now, in our verse here today, the suffix is atma. And of course, we know from Srila Prabhupada, atma refers to the self, to the heart, to our true spiritual identity. So this first word here, meaning the heart, it indicates that the heart becomes purified, it becomes cleansed, it becomes washed away from any sins, and that in that state, all that one desires is executing devotional service. This is the desire that one wants to obtain. So the question would be, how do we get to that state? That would be the natural inquiry that we would make if we're looking at this verse and someone's speaking it to us. Okay, well, how do I get to that state then? You know, if I ask some of the students, well, okay, I came in the front gate here, but how do I get to the school? It's not the very first thing there. Well, you go down the road, and then there's a fork in the road, and you go to the left there. So a very detailed explanation of how to get there. Oh, okay, I know how to get to the school now. Okay. So the instructions of the Bhagavatam carry with them explanations of how to attain what's being described. So how do we obtain this state of being cleansed, of being purified of the heart? Krishna Pada Mulam. By getting the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Now, having been a member of the St. Louis Temple when I was younger, I could go on for some period of time about the lotus feet. But suffice it to say that getting the shelter of the lotus feet brings with it service. It's not an impersonal idea, just some vague idea that there's feet out there somewhere and, you know, whatever. No, but it brings service. Just like sometimes you have to help your younger brother or sister get their shoes on. So that's, you know, service to your sibling. I have two granddaughters, one's three and one's one, and I get all these little videos from my daughter, you know, which every grandfather loves to see. At any rate, many times the older one is helping the younger one. You know, Pushottam's sisters do a lot to help him, I know, you know, give him this direction, that direction, here and there like that. You know, and then as in the case with my granddaughters, sometimes helping one to color or get up on the stool. So service is involved when we're dealing with someone, when we're looking to obtain their shelter, their protection. If we look at any scenario where someone comes to surrender to a king and they say to the king, oh, my dear king, I need your protection. Well, the king's first response, okay, what are you going to give me? What are you bringing to the table? Oh, I give my allegiance to you. Okay, so you're giving something. So here, service comes along with the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Or we could note it in the opposite way, that because of service, one gets the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So both sides of the coin, it brings the same principle, that shelter and service go hand in hand. Excuse me. They're both required together. You can't have one without the other. So by service, one gets the shelter of the lotus feet, and by having that shelter of those lotus feet, it brings one to do service. This is the dynamics of the path of bhakti, of the path of devotional life. It's very amazing that the two go hand in hand like this. So, what happens when we get that service? So this is the continuing question. Okay, the heart becomes cleansed. How does the heart become cleansed? Well, by taking shelter of Krishna and getting service. And then what happens once I take that shelter and give that service? What's next? Na munchate. That one does not give up that shelter. One does not give up that service. What does that mean, though, if you never want to give something up? You've got something. Anybody? Can anybody? Any of the students answer? What does it mean if you don't want to give something up? Yes, very good, Narottam. That you're very attached to it. That you're very satisfied with it. Completely happy with that item. Just like yesterday. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. And so many couples all over the world were professing their undying happiness in being in each other's company. And that association with that other person would be namunchate. It will never end. You will always be mine, I will always be yours, forever and ever until we hate each other. That's the nature of the material world. Something can come into that. But no, we see that rarely happens in the material sense, that ever happily ever after. This is the famous line at the end of every story book, every fairy tale, and they lived happily ever after. The only way we live happily ever after is if we have Krishna Mulapadam, the service to the lotus feet of Krishna. And service to Krishna means service to his devotees. They go hand in hand together. So back to these Sanskrit words here. Now, we can only agree to never give something up if we're fully satisfied, as Narottam here said, if we're attached to something. So we have to become attached to the lotus feet of Krishna, and we have to become attached to the service that goes with that. That means we become satisfied. How satisfied do we become? That's the next one. Panta Pariklesha. Panta Pariklesha, as satisfied, Prabhupada says here, as a traveler who has all miseries removed. Now, I've been very fortunate over the last 10 years to travel very large amounts of time with Bharatahari. And I remember the first time Bharatahari and I were sitting together in an airport that he said this to me. It wasn't the first airport we'd been in together. But we were sitting there, and the first time he turned to me, he said, "I love visiting places. It's the traveling to get there that I can't stand." So we all like to go places, but you know, if you're going to go to the other side of the world, if you're going to go to the Himalayas, you're going to go to India, you're going to go to Australia, you got to get on a plane. And you're in all likelihood going to have to get off and change planes and go through airports and carry luggage and schlep stuff around and carry your food and meet delays and cancellations and long lines and all these different things. So we like to go places, but it's the traveling to get there because it's filled with these pariklesha. Now, pari, the word pari indicates more than or beyond. So there's obstacles in every day. When you're driving in to come to the school, you get to the corner up here as the driveway's here, and there's all kinds of traffic. So you have an obstacle. You can't just pour it in. You got to wait, let things clear, all the cars coming and going, then you go. But pari means beyond that, more than that. And klesha indicates miseries. So more miseries beyond what you usually experience, this is what happens when you travel. Together, these give a combination of not being able to tolerate so much difficulty. Now, even if we examine a little deeper philosophically, Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, when the word klesha is used, he gives a very strong definition that it refers to poisons. And poisons that are the afflictions on one's path, in this case, on one's path to Krishna, Paramulim, to the lotus feet of Krishna. And he calls these the pancha klesha, the five afflictions on the path. One of them is ignorance. those of you that are busy taking notes, these are good points. Ignorance. One of them is egoism. One of them is attachment, which Narottam mentioned. One of them is aversion. And the final is fear of death. Now, four of these five are directly applicable to Prabhupada's example of the miseries of a traveler. Ignorance of where you're going, attachment to where you've been, aversion to the difficulties, and the fear of death if things don't go right. I had the opportunity some time back, I was on the plane, and the person sitting next to me, it was the first time they had ever flown. And they were just convinced the plane was going to crash. And I tried to tell them they had more likelihood of being hit by a bus crossing a street than their plane crashing when you take the number of planes that fly and compare it to the number of, you know, and the person wasn't buying it. They were just fearful that they were going to die. So why'd you get on the plane in the first place? Well, I have to go and see my mother. Okay, so. So four of these poisons that are afflictions on our path are very applicable to this example Prabhupada's given. The idea of traveling brings with it different types of miseries. Now, in the pranam mantra for Govardhan, namaste giridajaya, shugovardhana namane, asesha klesha nashaya, paramananda dayine. My obeisances to the king of the mountains, who is known as Sri Govardhan. He destroys unlimited obstacles and bestows the highest bliss to his devotees. So here, asesha indicates unlimited. So unlimited obstacles are there. And again, klesha, miseries. Miseries, obstacles. So when one takes shelter of Govardhan, Giridhar, unlimited miseries are destroyed. Unlimited miseries. Sometimes doing parikram of Govardhan, get to the point where, oh, this is so long, I just can't do this. Asesha klesha nashaya. My dear Giriraj, asesha klesha nashaya. Please remove all these obstacles. Obstacles physically, obstacles in the mind. By taking shelter of Govardhan, one has them all removed. And what's left when the obstacles are removed? Paramananda dayine. The highest bliss. And this is what we want. This is why we come to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we could have stayed in our material circumstance, working, as Prabhupada says, like the hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. You know, struggling very hard just to make an existence and then die and take another birth and do it again in some other species. Probably not as advantageous to us as the human form. But we've given all that up for the highest bliss, paramananda dayine. So these words, they're all used in this verse, and they're very appropriate for the point that Prabhupada is making in this verse. Namely, that when one takes to the process of devotional service, one gets full satisfaction of that process and full shelter. Then we come to the Bhaktivedanta purports. As Prabhupada often does, right in the very beginning, the very first sentence, he goes directly to the point. If you are not a pure devotee, you cannot have a completely cleansed heart. Wow, I guess I just might as well pack up my bags and go home. I mean, we could become very discouraged by a statement like that. But before we get discouraged, let's remember that Prabhupada says you cannot criticize a dirty person who's in the shower. The person in the shower is making the effort to become clean. Just like Narottam. If Narottam during recess goes off into the woods here and plays, then he's going to come out just covered in leaves and dirt and everything. But he's going to go home and he's going to get in the bathtub and he's going to get clean. So while he's getting clean, we can't say, oh, Narottam, you're so dirty. No, because he's making the effort to get clean. So Prabhupada refers to the devotees in the same way. Actually, many, many times, we all know this, Prabhupada referred to his disciples as pure devotees. Pure devotees because we are engaged in the process of devotional service. It's like you get a mango. Or better yet, bananas. I grew a bunch of bananas this year. I actually, for one of the first years since I've been in Alachua, and I've had banana trees every year, I had huge quantities of bananas. I mean, it was just like, you know, more bananas than I could ever possibly think of. But by the time the first freeze came, one entire stalk that had probably 50 bananas on it had not yet ripened. It was still green. So I cut that stalk and put it in the greenhouse with Tulsi, where everything's kept nice and warm. And in the past 2 weeks, they've all ripened. Now, they were still bananas, but they were green bananas. Well, if you're an expert cook, you know how to take green bananas and make some very tasty preparations. If you're an expert cook, you know how to take ripe bananas and make some very tasty preparations. It's all banana preparations. Actually, this is one of the glories of my wife. When we were running the St. Louis Temple in the restaurant there, and some days, of course, you know, your restaurant traffic is just off the charts and you run out of everything. So I remember we had run out of something and she went down and looked in the refrigerator what kind of BOGO we had. Tomatoes and bananas. So she made this absolutely incredible banana tomato chutney. And everybody loved it. So an expert cook can take the banana. Oh, it's only a green banana. No, but it's still a banana. So, oh, you know, it's only a green mango. But green mango pickles, very, very good. In the same way, Prabhupada referred to all of us as pure devotees. Okay, you've only been a pure devotee for 2 years. Okay, you've only been a pure devotee for 50 years. Whatever the case is. Actually, I heard Prabhupada say on a lecture this week, and it kind of astonished me, 1974 lecture in Vrindavan. He said, when one gets initiation, one gets immediately a spiritual body. When one gets initiation, one immediately gets a spiritual body. He said it three times in a row. And I was like, oh, what happened to me? But then Prabhupada said, as he sometimes does, he threw in a caveat. He said, however, if one has some reservations, it may take a little longer. If one has some reservations. In other words, if one has some attachments. If one has some anartas. If one's heart has not become cleansed, it may take a little longer to get that spiritual body. So we're in the process, but we just haven't gotten there yet. So right off the bat in this purport, Prabhupada makes this point to establish that. And then Prabhupada makes two connecting points. Very, very interesting. He says a representative of the Lord will preach, share, and give the teachings to others, and in doing so, they may meet difficulties. So Prabhupada brings these two together. One who is representing the Lord will preach. One who is representing the spiritual master will share what they've learned. And they may meet some difficulties. How many of us, you know, that have been out on Sankirtan have had things thrown at us or had, you know, horrible things said to us or, you know, I remember, oh, this is an interesting story. 1995, I think it was, I had gone to L.A. for Rath Yatra. I was on the West Coast doing some type of distribution, and I stopped, and the devotee I was traveling with, we made it to L.A., and I got to L.A. just in time to run in and get a shower and put on a dhoti, and the pujari said, oh, here, you get in the car and ride with Lord Balaram. Wow, okay, great. So I get to ride with Balaram, and then I get to go on Balaram's cart. Now, those of you that are familiar with the L.A. Rath Yatra, it goes down the beach there on that, you know, street there. And on one side is the park and the beach, and then on the other side is some apartments. So I'm standing there back to the apartments facing the ocean and, well, ultimately facing Balaram, and fanning Balaram. And as we get on, I feel this, and this wetness. I turn around and somebody from one of the apartments had thrown an egg. And it hit me in the back and was dripping down my back. And I thought, okay, I just protected Lord Balaram. That egg would have hit him if it hadn't hit me. So when you preach, and what is Rath Yatra except preaching, sometimes you'll encounter some difficulties. This is to be expected. And then Prabhupada gives a couple of examples. First one he gives is Nityananda. We all know this story. Any first-year Gurukula student can tell this story. Jagai and Madai. Big elevated Brahmin background. most degraded activities. Actually, it says that the scribe, the secretary, you could say, of Yamaraj, mentions that he cannot, if he engaged 10,000 scribes in writing the sinful activities of Jagai and Madai, he could not reach the end of their sinful activities. So anyway, Mahaprabhu sends Haridas and Inanda. You know, we always go out in teams. Just like at work, after we close the store and it's dark at night, the rule is you don't go out to your car by yourself. You go with somebody. You know, partner team. Same thing, we go in Sangatam, we go out with someone. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Inanda out with Haridas Thakur. And they encountered Jagai and Madai. And they tried to, you know, encourage him a bit, and Jagai and Madai yelled at them curse words and screaming and chased them. And Haridas and Inanda ran off. And so reporting back that night, Haridas went to Advaita Acharya and he complained. He said, what am I doing in this situation? I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, this Inanda is drunk on love of Godhead, and this Jagai and Madai are drunk on liquor. I'm the only sober man in the crowd. How do I do this? And Advaita Acharya laughed and thought this was very funny. And so anyway, we know Inanda went back, and he was struck. The blood poured from his head, and death was imminent for Madai. Jagai had surrendered. Madai had thrown the pot. Inanda was, you know, struck, and Lord Chaitanya heard this, and in a heartbeat, he was there with his Sudarsan Chakra, ready to kill Jagai and Madai. You have struck my Nityananda. You have harmed my most dear devotee. Death to you. And Inanda pleaded with him. He said, my dear Lord, you've come in this age to deliver everyone, to deliver the most fallen people of Kali Yuga. And these two right here, they're it. If you kill them, you're going to have to kill everybody in Kali Yuga, and then you're back to Parashuram. Parashuram's job was to kill everybody. So he said, please, you must deliver them. Now, interesting point. Chaitanya Bhagavat explains how Mahaprabhu delivered them, and then he embraced Jagai and Madai. When he did so, the manifestation of their sinful reaction rose above them as a dark cloud, and that entered into the body of Mahaprabhu, and his complexion of golden color turned darkish. And then he made a proclamation. Anyone who criticizes or finds fault with my devotees, this cloud of the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai will enter into their heart. If that doesn't give us fear from hopping on the internet, you know, I don't know what will. So at any rate, this is one example Prabhupada gives us here with Inanda. But then Prabhupada also gives the example for those of us who have a Christian background of Jesus Christ. And with the exception of all of you younger students here, those of us that are older students of Prabhupada, we were raised in the Christian tradition. And this story is very well known to us. And it's very significant for two reasons. One is that it shows how Prabhupada is not teaching secularism. Many times Prabhupada said, I did not come to change Christians to Hindus and Hindus to Jews and Muslims like that. No, I came to give love of God. If you're following Jesus Christ, then you follow Jesus Christ. That's very nice. But do what he says. Don't just follow him in name only. And Christ, what was his reaction to this brutal event, this brutal torture of crucifixion? Now, some of you may not know what crucifixion is. You take the individual and you make a wooden cross. That's why you see in Christianity this cross. And you take a hammer and nail and you nail through the palm of the hands into the wood. So the person's hanging there like that. And then where the feet are, there's a little bitty angle thing, and you nail through the feet into there. And then you tie the arms onto that, so you're left hanging like that until you die. So this is the way the people at the time treated Jesus. This is what they did to him. And yet, what did he say? There's this famous quote in the biblical scriptures that at the time of that crucifixion, he prayed to his father, God, Krishna, please forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So such torture, yet he prayed for the forgiveness of these people. Nityananda being struck and blood coming, and he prayed for the forgiveness of Jagan Marai. So these are the situations Prabhupada explains. If you're going to preach, you might differ. You might encounter some, and it's funny how Prabhupada says, some so-called difficulties. So-called difficulty. Having blood pour out of your head from being hit with a clay pot, so-called difficulty. But for the preacher, that's not a big deal. It's what I have to suffer on behalf of my Lord. So now, Prabhupada gives us another example, one that everyone knows, and that's the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Now, Prahlad Maharaj really, really experienced a lot of torture at the hand of his father. Let's see, students, you can raise your hands. Let's start naming off all the different ways that Prahlad was tortured. Okay, Narottam, you go first. Boiled. What's that? Boiled in oil, okay. Thrown into a snake pit. Ladies, girls, yes. Yep. Subhadra?
He was trying to be trampled with a bad elephant.
Trampled by elephant. Thrown off a cliff. Yep. All of these different things. Poison given to him, starving him, all kinds of mystic illusory, all of these different things. Thrown out into the cold wind and fire and stones. So all of these different types of things. And what does Prabhupada say? Did he ever forget the lotus feet of Krishna? And why did he not forget them? What was the vehicle that allowed him to not forget the lotus feet of Krishna? Aren't
them? The Maha Mantra,
by chanting. So by that chanting, which is service, he was able to remember the lotus feet of Krishna in the midst of all of these. Now, you know, sometimes we get into a little difficulty, you know, a little bit of trouble or some obstacle, and we go off on a tangent. Really? Something that small that we're going to forget Krishna? Look at all the obstacles, all the difficulties, all the abuse that Prahlad Maharaj experienced, and he never forgot Krishna. So this is a good example for us out there. Now, then Prabhupada goes on to expand this out a little bit. And he says, if you're a jnani, one who studies the Vedas, or if you're a yogi, one who has great mystic powers and can do different bodily control, you might give those things up. You might give those things up. Sometimes we see that somebody has a degree. They've spent 4 years in college studying a particular subject. My son, I'll give him as an example. He spent 4 years in college getting his master's degree in Renaissance history. So he's always been interested in history, and particularly that time period. And he got all this, and then he decided to do a little part-time job when he got his degree before he went for his PhD. And he ended up in the computer field with the medical research, and 10 years later, he's doing the same thing in the medical field. So he gave up that other thing. So much effort went into it. So the jnanis and the yogis, so much effort goes into it, but they may give that up. Possible. However, Prabhupada says, a devotee who is purely attached to Krishna, na munchate, will never give him up. And then Prabhupada refers back in this verse to the noted traveler we've been discussing. And I want to read what Prabhupada says here. The example set herein is very appropriate. A traveler leaves home to search for wealth in far distant places. Sometimes in the forest, sometimes on the ocean, and sometimes on the hilltops. Certainly, there are many difficulties for the traveler when he is in such unknown places. But all such troubles are at once mitigated as soon as the sense of his family affection is remembered. And as soon as he returns home, he forgets all such troubles. Now, throughout history, and I'm sure you all studied these names that I'm going to mention, there have been great personalities, like Marco Polo, recognize that one, or Columbus, or Ferdinand Magellan. These are all people that, you know, just left everything at home and went out into the wild unknown in search of wealth and riches and fame. And even there's fictional characters like Jason and the Argonauts. When I was young, there was this, what was it called, the Golden Book series? And I would get once a month these little paperbacks, maybe 50 pages long. And my favorite was always Jason and the Argonauts. All these travels and these encounters and always doing all this just to get back home. He got lost out there traveling in the world. And the whole point of this was he's trying to get back home, because once he got back home, everything would be okay. So much time, so much difficulty, so much obstacles. I'm guessing that they didn't take shelter of Govardhan. Because if they had, Asesha Klesha, all obstacles are removed. But that didn't happen. Now, I can point out that they achieved their goals because they eventually did return home. And that returning home was a great source of comfort to them. I've always said, because I mentioned I've been fortunate to be able to travel out, and I've always said, after you go on a trip, the best shower is your own shower. And the most comfortable bed is your own bed. Now, of course, this indicates my level of attachment, but the point is, the Prabhupada indicates this in the last line to the purport here, that this is of great comfort to the traveler returning back home to their own situation. Now, Prabhupada sets the stage to close this purport out with noting how one can love Krishna and how that love can manifest. And we're all very attached to our families, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and so on like that. My son is really getting top billing today. Anyway, when he was in Gurukula, he wrote a note to my wife, which my wife still has on the refrigerator door. And in crayon drawing, he drew a picture of the Himalayan mountains. And then he wrote on there, "To Mom, may my love and faith for you last as long as the Himalayas." Now, no wonder my wife still got that on the refrigerator. You know, such a great little thing, you know. Such love and affection. Now, Prabhupada says we can love Krishna exactly like this. He says in this purport, a family tie that is filled with affection is how we can how our love for Krishna can manifest. The glory of devotional service is that we might have a relationship with Krishna as a mother, as a father, as a brother, as a sister, as an aunt, as an uncle. Eighth chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the entire collection of the prayers of Queen Kunti, repeatedly she's referred to as the aunt of Krishna, one of the greatest devotees there is. So all of these different family ties can be completely purified, and we can have them with Krishna. All we have to do is desire it strong enough. Look at Vasudeva and Devaki. In their previous births, they performed so many austerities. And when Krishna came before them, okay, you perform great austerities, what can I give you? We want a son just as great as you. He said, well, I want a son as great as me? How's that possible? There's nobody as great as me. All right, I'll have to become your son. So in this way, he fulfilled their desires. So if we become a pure devotee, our heart will become cleansed, purified, bright and shining, and then we can have any relationship with Krishna that we want. So that's the purport of today's verse. Very nice there. We'll finish right there, just on time. Any questions, comments? Oh, Narottam? Let me rank up my hearing here. Speech clarity. There we go. Go ahead.
Talking about the Jason and the Argonauts, like he wants to get home. And he thinks he'll be satisfied, but he's not satisfied. He's happy for a few months, and then his wife kills his sons.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he has to run away.
No satisfaction in the material comforts. Somebody's read that book just like I did. Anyone else? No? All right, we'll finish there. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go to him in India.
I'll get that for you.